Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday school class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
A guy named John Claypool in a book about living and loving as Jesus lived in love shared a little story of a little boy who was praying at his bedside in the morning, and he said, "Our Father who is in heaven, how do you know my name?" That's kind of how he went through. And I kind of like that for a moment, because as we talked about the Lord's Prayer yesterday and how Jesus showed us something that was revolutionary, that he taught us to pray to our Father as Abba Father, that he is our number one Father. He is this loving, good Father. And I know sometimes we struggle with that because some of us have had great fathers, and some of us have had fathers that were lacking, and some of us may not have had an actual father in our life. And yet God, in all of those ways, God is our number one. He is our Abba. He is our first Father. Before anything else, God is. He's not like our earthly fathers. He is a good and a perfect Father. Even as good as our fathers, or as lacking as our fathers may have been, God is our Father in heaven. And as we think about that, think about every person who's in this room, every person who's worshiping in a church that preaches a gospel here in Pittsfield, perhaps every person in the entire state of Illinois, every person in the United States of America, every person in the North America continent, every person in the Northern Hemisphere, every person on earth, every person who has ever been ever, or every person who will ever be, and God's got them all sorted out and knows absolutely everything about them. That's a pretty awesome God there. That's the God that we serve. He knows everything. He knows our thoughts and our intents. And now think about that. Times all the people that have ever been. That's an awesome God. Yet he is our Father. And as Jesus began this revolutionary teaching, he kind of said, you can't go anywhere unless we have to get that as a foundation. God is your Father in heaven. And when we get that, we have hallowed be thy name, my heavens, because he's a great God and he's made all of creation, and he's given it to us as his bounty, and we see his wonder in the stars in the sky and all nature that's around us, and the wonder that we have all the life cycles around that give us what we need. God's an awesome Father. Amen. Hallowed be thy name. I tell you what, we have to begin with that semblance of praise, that understanding that God is holy and that he's worthy and that he's set apart, that he's sacred. And Martin Luther said this, and we're going to come back to this quote a little bit later, but I want you to let this sink in. Martin Luther, talking and meditating on the Lord's Prayer, said this: "Grant that I may not pray alone with the mouth. Help me that I may pray from the depths of my heart." Read that again. "Grant that I may not pray alone with the mouth, but help me that I may pray from the depths of my heart." These were Martin Luther's words as he reflected on the Lord's Prayer. And now Jesus' model of prayer begins and is centered in relationship. He is our Father. And that means that his perspective is from heaven, our Father in heaven. Now, this week, I tried, and I say tried because I failed miserably, to repair a small engine. And I'm not good at small engine repair work. And I was trying to get a carburetor back mounted. And I could not get the hole to go through the air cleaner and to get through into the engine block and actually hold it on. I was trying everything I could, and I couldn't get that doggone thing to go on without the gasket slipping and everything falling apart. And I got frustrated. And then I kind of decided something changed. I changed my perspective for a minute, and I looked at the other side, and lo and behold, I could line it up better. Duh. Anyone who does small engine work, you're like, well, yeah, idiot, that's what you should didn't begin with. But it dawned on me for just a moment how many times in life our perspective causes us frustration. We look at life from our human perspective and from our point of view, and what we see, we say is truth, and we don't see a way out. And yet God has a perspective from heaven where he sees everything, every motive, every thought, every intent, everything past, everything that's going to come. And guess what? He's not frustrated. Our Father in heaven's got it under control. He understands. He knows. He's got it all worked out. And when I relate to my Father in heaven, and I know that he's in heaven and that his perspective is far better than mine, it kind of gives me peace. Dad's got it figured out. I've had that revelation this week in trying to understand prayer, because I want my prayer life to be, I need it revolutionized. I need a change. I need a revival in my prayer life. Anybody else looking for revival in their prayer life? You're like, you know what? Here's where I am. And it's, I just want to step up in prayer. In fact, that's what God said to First Christian Church of Pittsfield as we entered into 2016. And my relaying of this is the Holy Spirit in our prayer vigil said, First Christian Church, if you want to meet the purpose that I have for you this year, you got to step up. Everybody say, step up. You got to step up in prayer. And so that's my challenge for all of us, and that's why we're doing this series on the Lord's Prayer. Jesus' model of prayer not only allows us to understand God as our Father, but also he allows us to know that we need to center prayer with praise. And when you think about the magnitude and the magnificence of God, you can't help but want to praise him. And if you're thinking that, wow, I talk to people and sometimes like, how are you doing? They're like, fair to middling, you know, and like, okay, I get it. And sometimes there's hard things going on in your life. And sometimes we love to just be whiners, right? No one? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to sing the gloom, despair, and agony on me song. I'm not going to sing it. Whoa, that we do. Sometimes we would rather worship our issues than worship God. And that's what the Lord's Prayer is all about, is getting us to worship our Father. Jesus starts it, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Praise God. And so now, how do we find that? Because there's always a healthy tension. Remember last week I left off saying the importance of coming to God through Jesus. And one of the ways that we understand that when we pray, we always pray in Jesus' name. Now, that's not some catchphrase that, oh, well, you have to say these words. Like what Martin Luther said, help me not just pray with my mouth. Help me pray with the sincerity, this depth of my heart. When we're understanding we can only come to God through Jesus, we understand that God is sovereign, that he is sacred, that he is set apart. And so we have reverence for God. And some of us, we've lost our reverence for God. We kind of walk around like, and yes, God is close to us, but he's also holy. So there has to be, I use this word all the time, and I hope it's not confusing, but I use this word, healthy tension. And that's kind of a weird word. You know, like when fishing, if I don't have a healthy tension on my fishing string and it gets a mess. You know what I mean? Anybody ever have a spool of a fishing line that's like, you need some healthy tension on that. In our prayer life, we have to have a healthy tension between the relatability of God and the reverence of God. He is with us. He is right next to us. He is constantly there for us, and he loves us, but he is holy. And at times in our society, we've tried to make God so hipster, I want to throw up. We've tried to make God so, bring him and put him into a cultural stereotype where God's, you know, just one of the guys. God's not just one of the guys or just one of the gals. Yes, he is. So do you understand what I mean? It's a healthy tension. He is there to relate to us all the time, but he is also supremely holy. He's 100% loving, 100% pure, and 100% holy. So there's got to be that healthy tension. And Jesus kind of let us know about this through the Lord's Prayer. So When I ask somebody, what is prayer? It's kind of funny. Go into Sunday school sometime and say, or talk to a little kid and say, what is prayer? And most of the time they'll say, prayer is when we ask God for things. Right? And certainly that's a part of it. I mean, we do ask. Be honest with me. How many of you, your prayer life is probably 70% you asking God for things? Right? Oh, you don't have to wave your hand. We get that. And don't leave this place thinking, well, Pastor Michael said we're not supposed to ask, because you are supposed to ask. In fact, Jesus said, hey, your Father in heaven knows what you need before you ask him. So go ahead and ask him. So if he knows what you need before you ask him, and yet he keeps telling you to ask him, that means there's something more to prayer than just requests. So here's why I want to frame this. Prayer is as much about relationship as it is about requests. Here, what I want to do is, the wisdom that the Lord's Prayer gives us is basically this. In prayer, is your focus your Father, or is your focus your need? I'm going to say that again. In your prayer, is the focus of your prayers your needs or your Father in heaven? And I would say that therein is a catalyst to revolutionize your prayer. If your prayers are mainly focused on what you need, not on your Father, that's a great way that the Lord's Prayer is going to show us to revolutionize them and to get closer to God. Here's the elephant in the room, though. And I know it. Because when we want to get honest about how we pray and what we pray for, most of us, you know, we pray for, hey, God, I've got this financial need, or a very real one, I've got a health need. When you get a health need, how many of you get real close to God when your body starts to rebel on you? I do. I got some stuff going on right now that I'm like, Lord, we need to talk. Okay? And that's honest. When we have things like that, when we have financial issues, man, we go to God really quickly, right? You get in your car. Lord, please just make this car. You know, that'd be much better in the entire universe if my car would start. In fact, no, it'd even be better if you just gave me a new one. In fact, God, here's what I need. I need 6 numbers, and one of them to be like this power number. That's life. You know, God, you know everything. You know what's going to come tomorrow. Why don't you fill me in with that little piece of information? I'll tithe 10%. I'll pay off all the church debt. Mm-hmm. Let's deal with the elephant in the room. Is God a Blues or a Black Sox fan? No, I didn't say answer it. I'm saying, you know, a lot of us, is God a Cardinal or a Cub fan? Because we need to know that, God. I can't worship you if you happen to be a bleeding blue. What's going on with this, right? Yeah. No, I'm saying, God, you know, can we be honest about how we approach God? Is God for my student athlete or for the student athlete from the other one? Because after all, prayers answered means I always win, means that I have success, means I get every job that I apply for, means that I get my loan, means I get my house, means my debt's paid off, my bank account's full, and no one's ever sick. That's what real prayer is about, right? That's how we act. If we want to get real, and if we want to get to the prayer that Jesus was talking about, God. Well, look, I know some of you are like, well, the Bible says this. Well, we're going to go through this. Matthew 7 through 11. I love this verse, and you're going to love it too. You ready? Ask, and it will be. Seek, and you will. Knock, and it will be. For everyone who asks, and he who seeks, and the one who knocks. Or which one of you asks his son for bread will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a serpent. Or then, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? I love that verse, don't you? Makes me feel good. All I got to do is ask. And if I ask, he's going to? Yeah, all I got to do is knock. And if I knock, he's going to? Yeah. I love that verse. Let's go one better. John 14, 12 through 14. Truly, truly, I say to you. So do you think that this is true? Okay, 2 times true. Whoever believes in me, will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. 13. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will. Ooh, I love that verse. How about this? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything, so what does that encompass? Well, I want the Blues to win tomorrow night. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it, right? That's our new favorite verse, isn't it? We're going to quote that and we're going to put it over our doorstep. Whatever I want, God's going to give me. Is that what this is saying? There are schools of thought in theology that say just that. There are entire doctrines that are set up on just a few verses like that, taken out of context. And it's really, really tragic. And what I hope to, in our discussions over the next few moments, to bring you to is an understanding of what prayer is. Because the sad truth is, prayer is not Aladdin finding a lamp and rubbing it. So let's kind of get through here, because let's plot in. You see, there's something to this order. There's a reason that the Lord's Prayer is laid out the way it is. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And now, before we get to the specific requests, we have the main request. You ready to know what the main request in your prayer is? Thy kingdom come. Wait a minute here. What do you mean, thy kingdom? What does it mean, thy kingdom come? Let's talk about God's kingdom. God's kingdom means thy divine order. Everybody say divine order. Your kingdom come. Our Father, that means I'm part of his family, not me alone, but I've got brothers and sisters around through Jesus that he is greater, he's worthy of praise, and now we're getting into this part where I'm bringing myself into his kingdom. Your kingdom come. Before I say, give me this day my daily bread, give us this day our daily bread, before we get that, before we get to give us these things, before we get to lead us, before we get to any of those things, the primary piece, the order that Jesus is giving us is this: thy kingdom. Come on, everybody. Your kingdom come. What does it mean? That means that is the priority. That's the number one thing, is God's kingdom. But I got to ask you, do we really think of God as a king? I like thinking of him as a father. I like thinking of God as a pushover father. Anybody have a pushover father? You know what I'm talking about? In my family, it was always funny because we would always play the who does mom and dad love best game. I never won that game. But my middle sister. Tom? Tom's the baby? Tom? Okay, we got Tom, yeah. All right. In my family, here's the deal in my family, we always would have this argument going back and forth of, well, They all love, you know, Karen the best. And you know, we had this kind of thing going back and forth, and there's always this rivalry. And we like to think of that one child who's got the parent wrapped around their little finger, and they can ask anything. And all the other siblings are like, let's find a pit, because I like Joseph at this point. You know, let's go back in Genesis. Let's toss him in a pit and get rid of him. There's the thing. God is not like that. And when we come to him, we got to understand that God is a king. In fact, he's the King of Kings, is the name given to Jesus, the King of Kings. Our God has a kingdom. And do we really think of God as a king, or do we think of God as more like democracy? Well, you know, I get enough people to agree that I really should have the power numbers, or I really should have a new car, or I really should have this. And as long as I get other people, we can make the case for that. Life would be a whole lot better. I'm really projecting some of my earthly concepts of God and my earthly concepts of how things work and my earthly concepts of justice and rightness upon God. Guys, it doesn't work that way. We do not fashion God in our image, no matter what pop culture says. And we live in a day and age where we're trying to redefine God. I'm sick of reading about all this stuff that's, well, truly, this is what fairness means in God. Oh, and truly, this is what love means. Our culture doesn't have any idea what love means. You know what God talks about love? Greater love has no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friend. God understands love in concepts and terms because God is the author of love. So as we move forward, we have to understand. Think of the word kingdom. Everybody say the word kingdom. This is a compound word. It's king and it's dumb or dominion. So a kingdom is the dominion or the reign of a king. Are you in God's kingdom? You see, and before we even get to requests, we got to answer that question. When we pray, before any other requests are given, it's this: is God my authority? Or this question: who rules my life? You see, it's easy for us to kind of have a shallow answer to that question and just be like, okay, here's where we're going to go forward. Let's look at Luke chapter 17, verses 20 through 21. Everybody read this together with me because my voice is starting to give out. Ready? Being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There,' for behold, the kingdom of God is..." Where is the kingdom of God? Where is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is in the midst of you. Can you look at your life and say, God's kingdom is here? In other words, God's order is established and is reflected in my life. Or is it really that I'm building my kingdom and I just want God to give me all the pieces for it? Prayer has become, in our society, a tool to build our kingdom, and Jesus is saying the opposite, that prayer is for us to build his kingdom. And I say, if in our prayers, the majority of our prayers are trying to be our kingdom focused and not his kingdom focused, we have a problem. Do you get what I'm stepping in? Rebecca always says that in the office, which always makes me check my shoes. Who rules your life? Whose kingdom are you building? You know, Martin Luther approached this portion of the Lord's Prayer, he said this, thinking about thy kingdom come, thy will be done. He said, if most Christians really understood what they were saying when they prayed this part of the Lord's Prayer, here's what Luther said, they'd shudder with fear. Let me roll that back. Martin Luther, brilliant theologian. If most people knew what they were praying when they said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, they would shudder in fear. I think it's a healthy fear. I truly do, brothers and sisters. I really do. I think it's a good thing. Because the good thing about knowing that God is my king, it's not my duty to take care of the king. It's the king's duty to take care of his subjects. I got a question for you. Do you think the King of Kings can take care of you? What do you need that he doesn't have? Since he has everything. What is out of his control? What is out of his authority? So when we're praying, your kingdom come, your will be done in my life, your kingdom, I'm putting myself in underneath his dominion. He is my king. I am submitted. Everybody say submitted. We don't like that word, do we? You know what? I'd rather have the sermon that just focused on, let's just ask it in his name, and then he'll give it to us. How about if we ask for his kingdom to come? I believe that our prayers will change. Everybody who wants to pray for that thing, I believe our prayers will radically change. The subject, everybody, if you don't get anything from the message, get this. Your prayers, the subject of your prayers will radically, everybody say radically. They will radically change when you submit as part of his kingdom. When you recognize that he is your king and that you are here for his purpose and his will, your prayers changed. Will you still pray about your health and your finances and the things you need? Absolutely, you'll pray, but you're going to be praying in his will. You're going to be praying according to his kingdom to come. You know what? When we're praying about building his kingdom, when was the last time we prayed about our lost brothers or sisters, people around us who need Jesus, that they would find him? This is a choice, and it's a choice every day. A lot of Christians say, you know what, I chose Jesus 25 years ago. I remember going in the waters of baptism, and I took care of it then. Whether it was 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 105 years, here's the deal. Have you chosen him today? Because each and every day, as Joshua said, choose you this day who you will serve. You got to choose, is he my king today? Everybody say today. I got a secret for you. Your king is daddy. Yes. And you think he knows how to spoil a kid? Boy, he knows how to take care of his own. He knows how to take care of his own. Does he have dominion in my life in the good times? Does he have dominion in my life? What about when I get bad news? What about when sickness comes? Because it does. What about when bad times come? What about when failure comes? What about when defeat comes? What in my times of plenty? What in my times of need? Is he king in all times? Because in God's word we find out. I mean, my heavens, think of Jesus. Jesus goes to God and he prays, Lord, if it's possible, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass for me. In other words, I don't want to go through this failure. I don't want to go through this defeat. It's not my will. I don't really want to be beaten and to be stripped naked in front of these people and to be spit on and humiliated and have a crown shoved into my head and to bleed and to suffer and to die and to be nailed to a piece of wood and dropped in a cross and to suffer for hours and have them make fun and to have my earthly mother and my closest followers look from a distance and cry and wail. I don't want that, God. But Jesus was praying something greater, God's kingdom and God's will. God's not done, and he can use all things. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's our choice, because one of the greatest gifts God gives us is our free will, and we need to choose each and every day to yield to his kingdom, his dominion, his authority. It's a daily choice. And as I said just a moment ago, when you realize that you're part of his kingdom, it changes everything. It changes your will. Your will, my king, in my life. Let me try to share it with you this. Gordon Curley, I love that name. Gordon Curley had a sermon which he shared this illustration. An old sailor repeatedly got lost at sea, and so his friends gave him a compass and urged him to use it. And the next time he went out in his boat, he followed their advice and he took the compass with him. But as usual, he became hopelessly confused and was unable to find land. Finally, once again, his friends went out and rescued him, and they were disgusted and impatient with him, and they asked him, "Why didn't you use the compass that we gave you? You could have saved us all a whole bunch of trouble." And the sailor responded, "I didn't dare to. I wanted to go north, but as hard as I tried to make the needle aim in that direction, it just kept pointing southeast." The truth is, that old sailor was so certain he knew which way was north. I would say that many of us, as we go before the Lord, we are so certain that we know what his will is. And yet, just as this sailor had his cardinal directions messed up in our life with our perspective, it's easy for us to miss out things. I got to tell you, there's been times that I have prayed for victory and I have gotten failure, and my failure has turned into the greatest victory I have ever experienced in my life. There are times that defeat has taken me so much farther in God's will in my life. There are times God has used my brokenness for his kingdom, and I lift my hands that he knows better. Daddy knows best. He knows far better than I do. Back to the sailor. He stubbornly tried to force his own personal persuasion on his compass, and as a result, he was unable to benefit from the guidance that it offered. Let us not be that way with God. Let us not treat God like the man treated this compass, trying to manipulate him to our way. Remember the Lord's Prayer. Let's all say it together. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's stand to our feet if you would.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday school class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.